The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
Really, really excited about our next guest, Michael Moe, co-founder of GSV Asset Management, longtime thinker, investor, just all-around good guy, and full confession, full disclosure, a friend of mine joining us on the phone from Woodside, California. Michael, it's just great to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. Great to hear your voice as well.
All right. Well, I wish we were having this conversation at the Village Pub next door to where you are. But here we are. First of all, what's it like out there? You're in California. Obviously, before New York became the epicenter, Northern California really was where people's attention was focused. What do you make of it? What's going on around there?
Well, clearly everywhere people are in a little bit of a shock. And I think the fear of the virus, has really kind of consumed many people's thinking and behavior. And when people get scared, and I think a lot of people are scared, it's hard to focus on much else. And so I think, generally speaking, that's kind of it. It's a little bit eerie. I live in a place where there's typically a lot going on, a lot of energy, and it's very, very quiet.
Yeah, and I think we do wonder, Michael, how much of kind of how we're adjusting our lives at this point, how much of it, once we get through this, I'm assuming we, of course, will, that how much of it stays with us in terms of, concerns about viruses, because there will be more viruses to come, but also how we're kind of adapting our work lives, a lot of us working from home and the ability to do that. I just wonder, we had a conversation with someone who talked, a well-known investor, Kathy Wood, who invests in disruption. And she says, when you see market disruption, that's where you kind of get innovation and opportunity. So I wonder, if you're looking at it in a similar way.
That's clearly where the glass is half full. I mean, you've seen this over and over again, where you've had dislocation and disruption. You've also had huge opportunities. And so I think what's exciting, and then again, this is a very serious situation, and obviously the most important thing is health and safety, but you are seeing people in their creativity and their innovation thinking about what does this mean and where does this go. So what I like to say is it was BC before, that's before Corona, and now we've got AD, which is going to be after the disease, and these opportunities that emerge AD I think are going to be very exciting. And so that's part of what we're doing, is focus on what those opportunities might be, and also understand what it means for kind of companies that grew up in the old world.
Right. Well, one of the things I wanted to make sure we talked about, Michael, was, normally this time of year, you are like in the thick of planning this massive conference that you do in San Diego in partnership with Arizona State. I believe you bring together some huge speakers to talk about the future of education technology, ed tech specifically. I guess two things. It seems like you've made a big decision to do a lot of that virtually this year. Tell us about that first.
Well, we're shifting the physical conference to the fall with the hopes that things will be more or less back to normal by then. Mm-hmm. But we didn't want to lose the opportunity to convene people that we're going to do it virtually. So we're going to have a one-day virtual event on next Wednesday, April 1st. And we call this the dawn of the age of digital learning, because while digital learning has been growing at a very healthy clip up until now, the coronavirus has really been a major catalyst to accelerate this. And whether you're a parent, whether you're a K-12 school, there's 1.4 billion kids around the world right now that were going to school and now are home. Universities are scrambling to figure out what they do to provide courses for their college students. And corporations are reimagining what they need to do to upskill, reskill their workforce. So it is, as much as this is a very difficult situation for society and for the economy, for online learning, it's I think it's basically an accelerant to the future.
Well, and the same thing with, like, I think, using the virtual world in terms of distance and reaching out to our medical community, right, in terms of telehealth. I wonder if that is something that we look at very differently coming out on the other side.
For sure. I mean, again, I think this has been a total shift in terms of how people, think about, the sort of the realities of an interconnected world, urbanization, and globalization that the pandemics, people that are worry about things that could happen in the future have been worried about pandemics for some time, but really this is the first time where it's been basically relevant to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of mind shift is going to affect this isn't because the genie's not going back in the bottle. I think it's a permanent shift about how people think about activity and how they've done, how they do things in the future differently than maybe they did in the past.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Let's get back to our conversation with Michael Moe. He is out in California and is co-founder of GSV Asset Management. Michael, great to have you still with us. And, you wrote a book a couple years ago that I read. It's fantastic. And it's about Global Silicon Valley. This whole notion of the Global Silicon Valley is the Global Silicon Valley Handbook is the technical title. But you have really explored this notion of this interconnected world and this notion that the ideas, the ethos of Silicon Valley is much wider spread than just the place where you happen to be sitting right now. Does this dent that ambition at all, or does it strengthen it?
Yeah, I think it actually is going to strengthen it. And I think that's partially, you've had this trend that's been going on for a dozen years. GSV stands for Global Silicon Valley. And so to your point, the mindset of innovation and entrepreneurship that's made Silicon Valley such an amazing place, and I've been fortunate to live in for 25 years, is going, spreading throughout the world. And you're looking at the ambition that exists with young people that want to not work for the large company but want to start their own business. And, in today's world where, you're going to have more difficult, hiring is going to not be as robust as what we've seen for the last 5 years, you're going to see that likely accelerate because your opportunity cost of starting a business is lower. Hmm. And so what we're seeing is from Austin to Boston, from Chicago to Sao Paulo, from Mumbai to Shanghai to Dubai, this emergence of this global Silicon Valley. And just to put some meat on the bones in terms of data, 10 years ago, 92% of all venture capital was the United States, and much of that was Silicon Valley. Last year, 55% of all venture capital was outside of the United States.
Wow.
So the shift has been dramatic, and it's exciting. It's great. I mean, U.S. is 94%, U.S. is 4% of the world population. So spreading, democratizing entrepreneurship, creating opportunities wherever you might be. You don't have to move to Silicon Valley to start an idea that could be transformative. I think that's very, very positive both for entrepreneurs, but also for society overall.
Right, creates a competitive environment, and as Jason knows, I'm a pretty competitive kind of person. But I think,
I think
it makes all of us, and he is too, and it makes the world or makes us all better. But I do wonder, you've heard some of the conversations, Michael, about, kind of a tech, war between China and the United States. How do you see it? As you look around the globe, are we going to be entering that kind of phase? And is that a good kind of war to be having, if so?
Well, I think the war of creating better product and better technology is going to ultimately benefit society and everybody. I mean, when you go to China, I've been to China 20 times in the last 3 years. And the thing I know about China is the more I go, the less I know. But I also know the ambition of the people in China is remarkable. So it used to be the place that was a copier. You know, they were the imitator, now they're the innovator. And so the areas like artificial intelligence, it's going to push, you know, other geographies, including the United States, to compete. And I think the noise with the China-U.S. Trade war, you know, while that's created a lot of a lot of noise, I think ultimately it should have a benefit to level a playing field that ultimately, you know, benefits everybody that wants to compete on a more fair basis. So anyway, I think, you know, there's no absolute answer, but the overall gravity of this is, I think it's going to accelerate innovation and technology. It's going to benefit society. It's going to benefit business.
And so, you know, Michael, one of the reasons I love talking to you, and especially like having dinner with you, is you can be so expansive in a lot of ways. And I've seen some very provocative presentations that you've given, as I was alluding to earlier. You have a great historical perspective about the markets, about economies globally and domestically. Put this in perspective for us. We keep throwing around words like unprecedented, which it is in a lot of ways, but help us, give us some context here, and maybe that'll make us feel a little bit better about this disruptive time we seem to be living in.
Well, I think what we've seen, I mean, you know, first of all, anytime you've seen a number of times, anytime you have a 20% or greater decline, 80% of the time that is followed by a recession. So I think that's a reality. Do you have a V shape? Do you have a U shape? Do you have an L shape? I'm bullish that you have overall platform in terms of business opportunity and activity that will, when we get the panic behind us, it's not going to be back to normal. But I think you're going to see things that emerge. And to the earlier part of our conversation, I think you're going to see new areas or areas that existed, but all of a sudden you see this boom and acceleration. You know, obviously, you know, I mean, Zoom and Slack are two places that, that's going to be a mega wave for a long time. The area that's personal, that's near and dear to your heart, you know, personal fitness.
Yeah.
You look at these, you know, the companies, the Pelotons, the Tonals, the Mirrors. I mean, this is, you see more and more innovation, you know, in that world. And again, you what the great news about entrepreneurs is they solve problems. They run to white space. They run to issues. And I think you're going to see very exciting companies like we saw after the financial crisis. You had Square, you had Stripe, you had Uber. You know, all these are all in the rubble of the mess of the financial crisis. And again, I think I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, like we've seen, you know, throughout history, basically, that new leaders emerge from disruptive times.
All right, we're going to leave it there. We could talk to you
all day for an hour.
Michael Moe, you're the best. Come see us in New York. We'll come see you in Silicon Valley once this is all said and done.
Always appreciate it. What's that cafe you guys go to? Is it the Village?
Village Pub. It's the Village Pub, and it's one of the best restaurants I've ever been to, and it's a great place to go and hang out with Michael Moe, have a nice glass of wine and a nice dinner, and hopefully solve some of the problems of the world. Michael Moe is the co-founder of Global Silicon Valley, GSV Asset Management. His
great
books,
stuff.
Really worth reading, Global Silicon Valley Handbook and Finding the Next Starbucks. A fascinating career that he has had.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.